Amen. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We turn over to Mark chapter number 10. Again, my mind works a little weird, and just bear with me. I promise it won't be long. Just in case y'all forgot, I still am very short-winded. Just in case y'all don't remember. But if y'all promise to respond to what God wants to do here, it might even go quicker, but God will have his way. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.'" I'm going to skip to verse 52, but right there between verse 52, where we just stopped in verse 52, it talks about how blind Bartimaeus stood up and cast away his garment. As I was studying this out, there was back then in the Bible, there's garments that identify you to what you are. And blind Bartimaeus had a beggar's coat. He was blind, signifying, "Hey, I am a beggar. I cannot see." And it's a great deal of faith that when he stood up, he cast that away. Now we can't forget, he's blind. Well, if you're throwing something when you're blind, you have no idea where it's going. So in faith, he is casting away that garment and saying, "I'm not going to need this anymore. I believe what he's calling me for. My problem's fixing to be helped." And in verse 52, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Amen. Just for a short period of time, I want to preach to y'all. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. You put your Bibles down and help me pray here tonight. Oh God, we need you here in this service. Oh God. God, I pray Jesus' name over this service. Let your spirit, God, move, Lord. Let your anointing fall down. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, let's clap our hands unto the Lord here tonight. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Kind of bouncing back, as I was praying during pre-service prayer, my mind was all over the place. But kind of bouncing back to talking about familiarity, it's even past the Wednesday night. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I don't know about you, but when I can't see something, it's hard to believe in it. It's hard to believe something you cannot see. I mean, I can watch $1 million, but if $1 million is in my bank account, I'm not going to believe I've got $1 million. It's just not there. There is no evidence of me being wealthy. And that's how faith is. But that's how with familiarity can tie together. Because as humans, we don't see our answer. We don't see what we are praying for, what we're asking God to do. And then it's easy to become familiar. That's why sitting in our pew when we're wanting a miracle can be dangerous. That's why God wants us to step out of our comfort zone. Yeah. Step out from what you know, from being familiar. I urge you, if your pew is familiar and you need something, step out. Get out from where you know. Maybe even the alcove, whatever you are glued to, what you know, do something different. And I assure you that God will honor your faith. I assure you God will honor you stepping out of your boat and onto the water.
Yeah,
all right. I was wanting to share a little bit of a personal experience as well. But I don't know an exact age, but there was a time in my life when I loved basketball. I still love basketball. I just don't play it as much, and it shows. But there was a time in my life when I played it all the time. And I was very expressive, whether it was vocally, whether it was with my facial expressions. I am extremely competitive. And I just put everything I had into basketball. I would come out of basketball, my shirt completely drenched, wring sweat out of my shirt. And there was times both my brother and I, whenever we play basketball at the gym, we bring two shirts. Because we sweat one out, we're going to get into another one, and we're still going to sweat that one out, but it's more comfortable to play in a dry shirt. But I came to a realization that I put 100% of everything I was doing into basketball. Yeah. Everything that I had. And I promised you, I looked goofy. And I promise you, I was having fun, but I did not care what other people thought about me, because my mind was made up that I'm going to win that game. No matter what it takes and how goofy I look, I'm going to come out a winner. And if I lose, then I'm coming right back for you, and I want a rematch because I'm going to win the next one. And I felt like God dealt with me and said, you can do that in basketball, but why can't you worship me with everything you have? Why can't you give me everything that you've got? Why can't you worship me with all of your heart? You'll look goofy playing basketball, but will you run the aisles with everything you've got? Will you dance on this floor with everything you've got? It doesn't matter what people are thinking of you. I want your best. And just see what I won't do for you. Just try me and see. And I promise you, I will do a work. It was not that long after. I think it was my dad. I don't remember the exact message that he was preaching. But he was preaching, do something different. Do something different. It's easy to get in your zone. And by that time, I had gotten better in worship. You know, I didn't have as much problems just worshiping God however I felt. But I always came to the service doing the same thing over and over and over. I'd jump until my shirt was wet. I could wring my ties out. My socks were sweaty. It was gross. But I gave everything I got, and I thought that was good enough. But I felt there was a tugging at my heart. Like, you can do more. You know you can do more. Do more and just see. I've got a different dimension, a different area that I want to take you to. And I started running the aisles. And I just felt like, oh, you've done this before. And then just out of just nothing, it was concrete. And I took my suit jacket off, and I just dropped to the floor. And I started rolling all over that concrete, and I got lost in the Holy Ghost. Men had to carry me back into the church, but there was something spectacular when I stepped out of my comfort zone. I didn't care who saw me. I didn't care about my white shirt that I was wearing, but God touched me. God touched me. Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I told you how my mind was all over, but back to our message here tonight. A name, we know what a name is. All of us have a name that we're given a name at birth. There are people who don't know a name at birth, and the parents have to wait a long time. As Sarah and I, when we were called back to the operating room, we knew we were going to name one of our boys Grayson. And we had no idea what the other boy's name was going to be. And all of a sudden, they're like, hey, today's the day. We're like, oh, we don't have a second name. And so we're in there. We're in the operating room, and I just turned to Sarah, and I'm like, I'm cool with Jameson. Let's go with it. But it was a very last choice, like last decision at the last moment. But a name, according to dictionary.com, is a word or group of words that is given to a person, animal, or thing to identify whatever it might be. At birth, I was given the name Micah Nathaniel Cowan. At your birth, you were given your name. Whatever it is, that is how your family members call you. That's how they talk to you. That's how they get your attention. That is how friends get your attention. They might be across the church or whatever it might be, and all they got to do is say your name and your head will snap because you hear somebody calling your name. But there's much more to your name than just calling you by it. Because when you get older, you then buy your first car. And when you buy your car, you got to sign hundreds of papers, and you put your name right all over that. And if you were to put someone else's name, that wouldn't work. But then if somebody tries stealing your car, and you pull out the paperwork and be like, no, this is my car. It's got my name on the title. This is my car. Your name has the authority. It controls that's your car. And then the older you get, you buy a house. And then you sign hundreds of more papers with all of your name all over everything. And when somebody wants to just come into your house and you have no idea who it is, you can tell them, this is my house. I've got the paper to prove it. When you want to, I have the authority to paint my own house because it's my house. Nobody can just show up and paint my house. My neighbors would pitch a fit if I just went over and tried painting their house because I thought it was ugly. Because it's not my house. That's their house. It's under their name. My house is under my name. My wife and I could decorate it. My wife can decorate it however she chooses. I just go with it. I go with the flow. Amen. But when asked, you'll be to be proven documentation. You have social security cards. You have IDs, whatever it might be. That shows your name. It proves you are who you say you are. We cannot go paint a random stranger's house. We can't do whatever under somebody else's name. A name is a very powerful thing. I feel like a lot of people like to focus on the signature. Like, your signature is heavy. Like, it does hold a lot of authority. But your signature is your name. If we were to go under the president's name or a king's name, we're going to hold the authority that they gave us to take with us. It's their power of their name because they hold an authority. We see in our text in Isaiah, the name of Jesus is quite powerful. The name, he is wonderful. He is counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. That's some pretty powerful titles right there to describe Jesus. He's wonderful. He's the mighty God. He is the mighty God. I believe a lot of times that we honestly can take for granted how much power is behind the name of Jesus. There is so much power behind just his name. Just the name. That's it. You don't even have to. There's times you don't even have to pray a very long prayer. All you've got to do is say, Jesus. And he's there. The Bible says he's as close as the mention of his name. Close as the mention of his name. Jesus. Jesus. I know we do not use God's name in vain. So I want to just state that right up front. By no means am I saying to do that at all here tonight. However, we don't realize just how powerful this name can be. Matthew 28:19, and Jesus came. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me, unto in heaven and earth. So we know he has all power. So this one person, I'm just setting kind of a small foundation because it's going to be a real quick house. but he has all power. Just this person named Jesus has all power. There is no power that God lacks. Knowing that he has all power, the authority that is in his name supersedes everyone else. All devils have to flee at the name of Jesus. I want to be careful to get ahead of myself, but God has all power. You can feel something start to happen when you just call on the name of Jesus. The atmosphere can start to change at the name of Jesus. You can feel when a service gets a little tight and might be the pastor or just some prayer warrior just starts to go back and forth. Oh, in the name of Jesus, all of a sudden something starts to break here. Something starts to break there, and then people start whining in the name of Jesus. And the service just breaks open and something happens. Jesus' name. The Bible says demons have to flee in Jesus' name. In Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Amen. In my name they shall cast out devils and speak with new tongues. Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That's it, just through thy name. It was no hell. We had to sit there and pray for hours. We had to do it. They were subject unto them just through Jesus' name. The Bible tells us that every knee is going to bow to him in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Woo, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We know that we are baptized in the name of Jesus. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. There's no other name. There's no other name that you can be saved by. No other name that you can be baptized in. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost ain't going to cut it. It's Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Are you getting it? Are you feeling the power in the name of Jesus? Because I'm not done yet. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Acts 3:6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Whatever you need, there's healing in just the name. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I'm not far from being done, but we're getting down to where I really want to go. There's one more that I want to talk about to you. We talked about the power that is in that name. All the power that is around and given to God and the power that is there. But there is power when you call on that name. It's not subject just to the pastor. It's not subject just to me. But there is power when you call on that name. You've got the power to call on Jesus' name. Jesus' name. It's easy to hear other people pray in Jesus' name, but we all have access to the name. We all have access. Do not forget the power that is behind Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now I want to take you back. I want to take you back. Here we have Jesus and his disciples. They're leaving Jericho. And they're passing, and it says there's a great crowd. There's a great crowd. And the Bible says that when they're going, there's a blind man. There's Bartimaeus. He's blind. And he's sitting there, and he can't see. And he's begging. But all of a sudden, he hears. So I'm gonna use my imagination. Since he's blind, he cannot see. We all can agree to that, and we can all know. But when you're blind, your hearing is better, because you have to rely on your hearing more. So he's blind, he can't see a thing. But all he can hear is that Jesus is coming. Jesus is right there. And then he just starts to think to himself, hey, there's power in Jesus. There's power. If I can just get Jesus to come over here, I know he can heal me. I know he can touch me. But it was not that easy for Bartimaeus. It was not that easy. Because he was blind, he was a beggar just sitting there. I don't know about y'all, but there are times when I feel uncomfortable when I see beggars in the streets. Yeah. Just the look of them sometimes, it's stereotypical, I know. But you get uncomfortable. Sometimes you don't trust them. So I can just see people looking. There's Bartimaeus again, that blind beggar. There he is again. But remember, his hearing is perfectly fine. And I know he can hear them. Oh, man, they're calling me blind. They're calling me a beggar. I'm gross. I'm nasty to them. But I know Jesus. And I can just imagine him. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He doesn't even know where Jesus is at. Jesus could be to his left. Jesus could be to his right or further out or behind him. He has no idea. All he knows is Jesus is in the vicinity. But then the opposition starts to happen. Because he already has blindness. But then people start telling him, shut up, Bartimaeus, you filthy beggar, shut up. Jesus is too good to spend time with the likes of you. Be quiet. And Bartimaeus, being blind, he has no idea where they could be or where Jesus is. And he could have shrunk down and just been in fear because people were telling him to be quiet and not knowing anything. But blind Bartimaeus did not let the opposition. He did not let people do that. One thing that Bartimaeus had, that we all have, was his voice. His hearing and his voice. He could hear Jesus was near, and he could call out on Jesus' name. He did not get more quiet. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus. And the Bible says that God stopped and looked, because Bartimaeus was calling on Jesus. Oh, when you call on the name of Jesus with faith, dilemmas must disappear. Faith happens. Faith's got to happen when you call on the name of Jesus. Let's pray here right now in Jesus' name. Oh, God, I believe in Jesus' name, oh, God. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name.